Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't need to check on the sparrows for summer, because here's sporting men at CNA and Big W. It's officially summer, so you can you can put this. Don't be any sparrows. It's just that heat on my legs. Swallows, sorry. Sparrows. Well, God counted the swallows as well as the sparrows as well. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians 3, starting and reading at verse 10. This is Paul writing here. This is after Paul had told the church there that he basically told them who he was about, talked about boasting in Jesus. And talk about the flesh and having no confidence in ourselves, but having confidence in God. And this is just, if you remember, just a few verses prior to this, he's telling them that, you know, you talk about, you know, being a Hebrew among the Hebrews, that was me. Talk about being a Jew among the Jews, that was me. Talk about, you know, being on fire, that was me. You know, but now I count all that as nothing because I found Jesus. And then he goes on here and he says, I want you to know, this is verse 10 of chapter 3, Philippians. I want you to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Just going into chapter 4, the first verse. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And then if you can just flick back into the book of Corinthians. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I just want to read you these words. Chapter 9, verse 19, it says this. Again, Paul speaking to the Corinthian church this time. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Father, just take the words that I will share today, Father, from my heart, but may they be from your heart. Father, touch the words I speak, multiply them like the loaves and fishes. Father, Holy Spirit, speak through your word today. And Father, just show us exactly who we are in you. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, your glory will be seen in the towns and the villages of this area because of what you put within the hearts of us here in this place this morning, in Jesus' precious name. I'm going to show you a video before I actually say anything this morning. It's a video that touched my heart. I sort of preparing this over the last few weeks, and then I had a video sent through on the internet, and I watched it, and I thought, this is just the key for what I want to set the scene for this morning. But before I even do that, as we were worshipping this morning, God planted a word in my heart. And there's been two occasions in my life where God has challenged my heart. And two times it was when we'd gone from one church to another church. I've only been to about four churches in my whole life, but when we moved church, it was such a huge thing for us, such a big thing to do. And God challenged my heart on two occasions. The first one was we went into this little church, and it was lovely, and it was the sort of thing we liked. They played guitars and things, and it sung. It wasn't formal; it was quite free. And I said to Wendy, I said, "Don't tell them I play. Don't tell them I play the guitar." You know, and. And for about 6 or 7 months, we attended that church, and in the end, I felt I could no longer hold back that which of the gifting that God had given into my heart, into my life, and it was really a way. And then the pastor of the church came to me one day, and he said, "It's time to get off the fence." And really challenged my heart. And another time, many, many, many years later, we'd gone to a church, an established church. It had been going for a year or two. We'd gone in because we felt that God had moved us there after 16 years in the fellowship. And it was really tough for us. The worship was all established. The worship team was established. And for a year, we sat amongst the congregation. Yeah. And again, the pastor came up to me after a year, and he says, "It's time to get off the fence." You know, and the word that God dropped into my heart as we were worshiping this morning, maybe for somebody here today, is you buried your talent too deep. You buried it too deep. You buried it so deep, it's not going to grow, it's going to die. Because there's no warmth getting to it, and there's no light getting to it, and the seed is going to die. And this is quite a strong word this morning, and I've been up in knowing whether to say anything, and I really feel I need to say something this morning. Don't be like me. Don't be sitting there, you know, burying the gift. Because God has given us all gifts. And if that's spoken to your heart this morning, I challenge you today. You know, you can... God showed me a picture many, many years ago of a grave. And he said, if I wasn't careful, the rut I was walking would make it into a grave. The difference between the rut was making and pacing around, going nowhere for God, was I'm just basically digging my own grave. I'm not planting anything that will grow. I'm just making myself a grave of it. You know, that's a word for somebody here today. So I'm going to leave that with you to ponder on. And I think it's very much in keeping with what I want to share in a few minutes' time. This video will speak to your heart if you will let it this morning. And I pray it will challenge your heart. Okay.
Yep. The world's going to keep making you look at your past, your past, your past. Don't you look at your past? You're going to get depressed. And you're going to get stuck in your past. You look to your future. And go, man, what is that moment going to be like? See, my actions, a lot of things I do is because I'm thinking about my future. And I'm thinking about that moment when I see Jesus because I realize that everything I do is going to bring either reward or regret. It really is. I've got an extra $1,000. Okay, on that day, that future, when I see Jesus, what is going to bring reward and what's going to bring regret? I could buy a lot of fun things for myself with that $1,000, but on that day, Paul's saying, I'm just looking at that day, going on that day, maybe I just give it to the poor, because on that day, I'll be rewarded for it, versus, yeah, I mean, we've all bought things we regret, right? You know, oh, that was a waste of money, that's a waste of money, that's a waste of money. Think about what we're going to say at the end, when we stand before God. Are you going to regret the car you drove, regret the house you lived in, regret the clothes you wore, regret, you know, just everything? What are you going to regret? What about your time and how you spent it? Are you going to, I'm so glad I watched 7,000 movies. Are you going to regret, wow, I wasted all of that time. Yeah, it's about the future. Paul's going, man, what am I going to look forward to? Again, I'm going to bring an illustration that, this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper? When it was all stuck together and had the holes on the side that you had to peel off. Remember that? I remember getting a roll. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me. But, because that was the best, you know? And it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being youth pastor and I put that computer paper all the way around the room. But I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope, okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever, okay? Just imagination, pretend it goes around the world a few times, doesn't it? Ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save, so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. You think, oh man, am I going to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy. I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner, just looking at that moment when I face God. Because when I face Him, then I don't get this chance over again. We have one chance at this life on earth. And it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I'm going to be more stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're gonna do that right now. Just enjoy it right now. Not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb? It doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just a crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. Because I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line. And I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. Because I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out. And I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges and he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it. And I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me because I'm going to pass that line well.
That's good. Just hit them all, one will come on. Praise God. I've seen a similar illustration many years ago, but that really sort of just challenged my heart again as to what we do with our time, what we do with our gifts, what we do with our abilities. And we have this wonderful picture in both the Corinthian reading and the Philippians reading. This wonderful picture of Paul living his life at 110%, at almost over the speed limit. And not only physically doing it himself, all the preaching and the teaching and the writing and the travelling and everything else, but encouraging those around him to follow suit, to follow my example, to do it this way. You know, he certainly was making the red bit count, as Francis Chan described on the video this morning. Here in verse 13 of the Philippians reading, I think Paul touches on something that really is close to all of our hearts. He highlights something that held back his peers in that day and very much influences how we live our lives for Christ. And he said these words, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it all. I haven't got it yet. But one thing I do." And it's amazing how he lists this one thing. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me." Every one of us who loves Jesus this morning have been called. You may not feel called this morning. You may not feel that God has called you. If you've given your life to Christ, you have been called. You've been called, and you may not have quite yet find out exactly what that calling is on your life, but I assure you there is a calling on your life today. But you see, we have trouble with the forgetting what lies behind business. So many of us have been stunted by the past. You know, and again, if I had a euro for every time I've spoken about this at Wellspring, I'd be a wealthy person today. I put it in Pete's yellow box at the back for missions. But it's true. We do struggle with the past. And I know people. I can take you to people now in my hometown of Rugeley, in England, in Staffordshire. And I can take you to them. And I can knock on their door. And they would let us in and they'd make us very welcome. But they are still living lives as they were 30 years ago, still bound up with stuff, with unforgiveness and things that have wrecked their lives and things they have not let go of because it is just in their face. And they're lovely people, don't get me wrong. But they have not fulfilled the call. They haven't walked the walk. They haven't strained. They've strained against hurt and they've strained against all sorts of things But they've never risen to the challenge. You know, and I don't want ever for my life to be in that way. I don't want your lives to be that way. I want you to be free in Christ to do what God has called you to do. But so often, not being able to forget the stuff. And I'm not saying this morning that Paul forgot everything, but he knew what to do with it, basically. You see, Paul treated his past as done and settled. He may not have forgotten all the rubbish he did. He may not have forgotten all the people he brought and imprisoned. He may not have forgotten all the stuff that he did before he came to Christ, before Jesus met him on that road that day and his life changed forever. He may not have forgotten all about that, but he chooses to forget about it for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of going on, for the sake of moving on. You see, he treated it as settled and done with because of his encounter with Jesus. Now, that was all sorted. That was all dealt with. You know, and sometimes, you know, people say, well, you know, I can't forget. Folks, we need to forget some other stuff that stops us from moving on. And this is the message today about moving on. It's about pushing forward to the goal. You know, don't let stuff from the past hold you back. Be like Paul. Encourage you. Phil brought the prayer this morning. He talked about encouraging. Encouragement. I want to encourage the church today to forget what lies behind and reach out to what God has for you. Because there'll be so much not achieved for God in this world, in this year of 2014, because of the past. And that's general. I'm not talking to Wellspring, I'm talking generally. Christians will not fulfill that calling that God has placed on their lives this year, on a lot of occasions, because of the past. Because they cannot let it go. They can't lay it down. And it's almost like we don't, we question whether Calvary was good enough, was big enough. I assure you, the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me on that cross was enough. We believe that sin was dealt with, the past, the present, and the future. And yet, tomorrow, something may happen. And again, we go into this position of it holding us back, and we don't go forward. So my encouragement is today that we really need to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with these issues in our lives, so that we can go ahead, we can move on. We need to thank Him for what He's already done for us. We need to thank God for Calvary, that Calvary has covered it all. That the blood of Christ doesn't have to be shed every single day for everything we've done, but it's there. Just acknowledge and move on. Acknowledge and move on. You know, so often we stick there in a situation because, you know, we just find it so hard to move on because of the regrets, because of the stuff that is there. It's really challenging. I thought God really, really, really asked me to challenge you today, church, to move on, to lay this thing down. Lay these things down. Maybe more than one thing. But God says, lay them down, treat it as done and dealt with. It was dealt with on the cross. My son was sacrificed for your past. And you have a whole new future in me. Verse 14 says, I press on towards the goal to fulfill that full calling that God had placed through Jesus on Paul's life. For that heavenward calling, all sorts of songs we can sing, I can just remember them in my head now. I think, you know, pressing on for the prize, you know, reaching out. Some of the old hymns and songs you used to sing as a young person, very much aimed at that, moving on, pushing through, pressing on. I believe that we experience that salvation, the same salvation that Paul received. Think about that for a minute. The salvation that Paul received, we have that same power of God moving in us that he did. You're looking blank at me this morning. Perhaps I am not explaining it well. The experience that Paul had on the road may have been dramatic, but the power of Christ that moved in his life to change his life forever is the same power that moves in your life and my life to change us, if we'll allow it to change us. There's no difference in the power. The power is the same. It's life-changing power. So we have the power within us to change us, to make the red bit on the rope count today, to make our lives count, however long we've got, to make that thing count. You know, I sat with Bert yesterday, and as Duncan said, like, it was more sleep than anything else. And I sat there and looked at him and mulling over what I was going to say today, and I thought, you know, Lord, what is this showing me? You do that when you're sitting with somebody that's not responsive. God, what are you showing me in this? What is this all about? Why am I sat here with him and he doesn't even know that I'm here? And I almost felt in my spirit God say to me, like, you know, that you know, you're going to learn something from this. I thought, Lord, what can I learn from this? You know, I thought about it last night. Something I'm going to learn from this is the fact is that I'm going to make every day count. Every single day count. Because none of us knows what tomorrow is going to bring. And I know Bert, from what Brenda's told me, you know, that he would never have wished himself to be in the position that he's in. Of total uselessness. You know. And I looked at him and I thought, you know, this could be any of us. Just like that. Just like that lady in Rwanda this morning, she died. Just like that. None of us know the time. Oh God, I want to make every single minute count. I want to make every opportunity count. I want to use my gifts while I've got chance to use my gifts. I want to use my talents while I've got chance to use my talents. I don't want to be. So even in awful situations like being there with Bert, God is teaching and God is showing and revealing things into our hearts if we'll let him reveal it. And it wasn't a nice thing, you know, but it was a challenging thing. You know, don't wait until it's too late. If you want it in simple terms, let's not wait until it's too late. I mean, good grief, when we look around and see our age group here, you know, we're battling against everything, and yet there is still time. There is still time. While we have breath, it says in Scripture, I will praise him. While I have breath, I will give him glory. And so I encourage you today. Phil said, let's encourage each other. So I want to encourage you. This isn't a word to put you down. This is a word to say, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can run this race. Come on, you can lay down the past. You can put this stuff behind you. Yes, it's never going to go away. You're always going to have it there. But you can say, because of Christ, because of what he did, I can lay this down and I can move on with my life. This is not going to stop me from fulfilling what God has for me to do. It's so important that we do this. Pressing on towards the goal. Pressing on, pressing on, pressing on with him, letting his power change us. Our past does not have to dictate our future. If we can fully trust God and focus on what his word says about us and not what we perceive others think about us. You know, we so often think we know what others think about us. We think that others put us down. We think, and it's all up here, you know, we think, and so often we can talk ourselves out of things because we think, what will they think? What will they say? What will they forget? And what does Jesus say? What does God say in your life? What is the Holy Spirit saying in your heart? What is the challenge he's placing in your heart? I encourage you, like, don't think what others think. Say, Lord, because you say so. That's what Jesus did in the garden. He said, Father, if I can, take this cup away from me. But not my will, but your will be done. And that's my prayer this morning. Like, not my will. You know, what do you think of me? I don't care what other people think of me. You know, they're crazy idiots with their silly shirts. It doesn't matter. doesn't matter, because he thinks I'm wonderful, and he thinks you're wonderful today too. He thinks you're marvelous. He thinks you're so precious and so lovely that he sent his son to die for you. That's how much he thinks about you. That's how much he wants you to run the race. That's how much he's giving you the talents and the giftings right there from when the blueprint of this world was in place, not just when you were born or you popped out. Right from the very beginning, God had a plan for your life and my life, you know. And I just encourage you today to run with the plan. Don't run with what other people say or what other people want you to do, but run with what God has said and what God wants you to do. Don't let your past dictate your future. We can't do anything about the past as people. It's humanly impossible to do anything about the past. Maybe we can say sorry or do that, but we can't change what's happened. What's happened has happened. But today, and bless you, Sharon, you prayed something this morning that was a confirmation of the word today. You said something along the lines of the influence that we have on what we do will affect, and you sort of stumbled over how hundreds and thousands and whatever, you know. That's what got written down here. The decisions we make today can affect the lives of thousands of people in the future. Thousands of people. But oh no, it's just me. No, it's not just you. It's you sharing with somebody else, who shares with somebody else, who shares with somebody else, and somebody else. The decisions you make today for God can change the lives of thousands upon thousands of people. When you decide, yes Lord, I'm going to lay those things down. They are not going to stop me from doing what you want me to do. That's a decision that can change the lives of thousands of people in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. Are you prepared to make that decision to change the lives? That's an amazing thought. And thanks, Sharon, for sharing that, because it was just so right this morning. And it just really thrilled my heart. This is what the word of God says about you and about me. For I know the plans, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I'll read that again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's what God thinks about you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. God, by his grace, has destined you and me for greatness. You might think that's a bit much to say, but it's true. You know, he's committed to your success and my success. God's committed to it. I have a plan. I plan to prosper you. I plan to not to harm you, but to show you a future, a hope that is sure and secure. That's what he's telling us. That's how much he really loves us today. Why do we find it so difficult to believe that he loves us in this way? See, Paul had a major encounter on that road that day. He got knocked off his horse and blinded, and there was Jesus confronting him. Why do you kick against me, Paul? Why do you do this? Why do you do these things? You know, and after all the horrific stuff that Paul had done, after all the people he dragged into prison, had beaten, all the stuff and how he raged against the Christians, how he raged against those of the way, those who proclaim Christ, how he raged against those who would be so bold as to stand against the Jewish faith and religion and the law. He had much stuff that he'd been involved in, and God had much to do in his life, but God managed to do it. And if he can do it with Paul, he can do it with us, who may not have thrown people into prison and beaten people and all sorts of things, but maybe in many respects, in certain ways, we've done similar things by the way that we've treated other people or whatever. No, God can deal with that. And God can take us on from that. Doesn't need to stunt our futures. You see, Paul had lots of years left to do something about the kingdom. And Paul didn't let his past exclude him from going on and being one of God's generals. And neither should we. I look out this morning and I see many people, you know, and each of you have this, has the potential of being God's, one of God's generals in this nation at this time for him, if you're prepared to step out of the boat. I can imagine you saying this morning, but Andrew, you know, Paul was a special person who was chosen by God for a specific task. Here's how specific his task was, and we read about it in that reading in Corinthians 9. It says here, this is his task, and he says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. But then it goes on, if you remember what I read it, to the Jews I became like a Jew, to those under the law I became like as one under the law. But that doesn't mean to say that he broke God's laws, but he fitted in with them. You know, where are we now? To the weak, he became weak. And he says there in verse 22, to the weak I become weak to win the weak. And this amazing statement he makes, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means, it's like the victory saying, isn't it, you know, to win as, well, I can't remember it myself, but basically I think it must have been taken from there, you know, to use every available person, every available means, and every available time, you know, to win them. And this is what Paul was saying here, I have become all things. In other words, I've fitted in with everybody. I've done my utmost to fit in. Why? Because they can relate to me and I can reach into their hearts and lives and I can touch them with the love of Christ. I become all things to all people that by all possible means I might save some. So that was his mission. You know, that was his specific task. To love God, to serve him, to strain forward, to fulfill this task of winning as many as he possibly could before the day that he hung his boots up. And that was his calling upon his life. And I don't think our call is any different to that. God is calling us to tell others of the love of Christ, that as many as possible. God doesn't want anybody to perish. That's what the word says. Are you willing to let God be God in your life? You know, you say, well, it's too much. You know, you read the stuff that Jesus told Paul what he would suffer, how he would suffer, and maybe we don't want to suffer. I can understand that. But maybe there's some tough things to get where God wants us to get to. But he'll enable you to deal with those tough things. You see, when God calls us to do something, he normally calls us to do something that we can't do. It's really hard. Because when we're in that position, then we surrender to him and he comes and does it through us. You know, it's no good giving us things we can do, because that is no challenge, is it really? And then we tend to get the glory, you know. Maybe I should, when I spoke about the people with gifts this morning, God gave them gifts. But I believe that the gifts we have, God gave them to us. So maybe you don't feel equipped to do what God's called you to do. He'll equip you if you're willing. He'll give you these things if you're willing. But you'll never feel fully equipped to do what God called you to do. It's only when you step out. It's only when you put your foot in the water. It's only when you try it. It's only when you say, here goes, Lord, and go for it. And that's when you find he comes through. It's only when Moses struck the rock that the water came out. It was only when they actually put their sandals into the sea that the waters parted. All of these things happen because we have to step out in faith and believe it. You know, I can't do this thing. Don't send me, God. I can't speak. I've got a stutter. I got this, I got that. Remember Moses when he was sent to go to Pharaoh? God, the excuses he made. You know, I mean, they reeled off one after the other. Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. And God said, well, do this, you know, I'll give you a stick. It'll do this and whatever. Use your stick. What's in your hand? What have you got in your hand today? Maybe not a lot. But I tell you what, if you use it in the way that God tells you to use it, you know, thousands of lives can be influenced and changed because of your thing that you do for him. You'll never feel, as I said, fully equipped to do what God's called you to do, but you'll find that when you step out, he will meet you there. You may be facing an impossible situation in your life. God thrives on the impossible situations. He comes into his own with the impossible situations. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his, that's God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us. There's that word again, called us by his own glory and goodness. And as I sat with Bert, I was thinking about this. And when Brenda came and told me about Debbie and about how the car had been trapped in the barriers and she couldn't get out and she scraped all the car and things and all the stuff that's going on. And I know in your own life, I know people here with situation in your life this morning. Oh, you know, how do we get through this? How do we do that? 2 Peter 1:3 says, God, his divine power has given us everything we need. And as I said, as I sat with Bert, I said to the Lord, I was praying for him and about the situation. I said, God, you know, even in this, and I believe God said yes, even in this. And when Brenda came in and told me the story and cried, I said, in my heart I'm saying, God, even in this, yeah, even in this, I have a way, I've provided a way out. I provided a way to take them through. And when I opened the email this morning and I saw the notice about Renee dying this morning, knowing that Cliff was ill, that Blynn's mum was ill and Wendy wasn't well, I'm thinking, like, even in this, and I believe God said, yes, even in this, I'll provide. You see, when we came to Christ, a storehouse was opened up for us. A storehouse full of stuff. And that's open for you today to draw on. Full of good things, full of stuff there to help you in your difficulties, help you in your troubles, help you as you struggle through situations. I've not got time to read it this morning, but if you want to look when you get home at 1 Corinthians 1:26, it talks about God calling ordinary people like you and like me. You see, his calls on all of our lives. Not just the heroes of faith, not just the Davids and the, you know, and all the things and the Samuels and whatever. Not just all the Moses and the Abrahams and the Pauls and the Peters and the Johns and all of them, but he calls you and he calls me. He calls ordinary people who are willing to run the race, to lay down the past and to head for the goal. Paul's key was his ability to forget the past. God's already dealt with that. He fixed his eyes on the finishing tape and he certainly finished well, doing what he loved doing, winning souls for Christ and receiving the prize of heaven. I'm going to say a statement now and you're going to perhaps think about this. Our faith does not move God to supply what he's already supplied. Our faith doesn't move God to supply something he's already given. Okay? Let me explain that. When we come to Jesus and surrender to him, as I said, a storehouse is opened which is full of all the things we'll ever need to live naturally and spiritually. That's what it says in 2 Peter 1:3. God's divine power was given to us. Everything we need to live godly life. Everything we need was given to us on that day. You see, faith is trusting God and stepping out believing him to supply those things that he's already supplied. Yeah. He supplied so much. You can name it this morning, whether it's healing or deliverance or whatever it is, or situations or finances. He supplied a way. We just need to just take that step of faith, believing So many times that we ask him for things that he's already given. We can't keep on giving what he's given. He's given it, and it belongs to us because we belong to him. That's what it says when we came to Christ. And I think we need to learn to step out and believing for the things that we've already been promised and what God has already promised us. This is not a word this morning about works. It's a word about trust. It's a word about trust. And will you trust me? I believe God is asking, will you trust me in this walk, in this race? For some of us, it may be a trundle. So when I think about the Welsh being wanderers, some of us trundle. Some of us, like others, skip. You know, power. You know, wherever we're at today, God has made a way for you to fulfill the destiny that he has for you. Are you willing to lay down the past so that you can move forward for him? It's not about works, it's about trust. Paul was assured of heaven, but was intent on receiving his crown. What was his crown? His crown is beautifully described in 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. Paul writes, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." The people that his life had touched, they were Paul's crown. It wasn't some physical thing that he could put on that would waste away. It was the people's lives that he touched. And beautifully again, as I finish this morning, and I really mean it, in Philippians 4:1, he writes these words, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord." In this way, I read it at the beginning of my sermon this morning. See, Paul's crown was the lives, to see the joy of people set free in Jesus, to see people moving on and going forward. You know, that was his joy, that was his crown. And as we live our lives, the little red bit at the end of that rope of eternity, my challenge today, my encouragement is, can we trust our beautiful Jesus to daily see us through? Can we trust him for our needs, to provide for them? And if we can, will we be willing to forget that lies behind and strain forward for the prize? And what a prize it is that awaits us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you still want to challenge us. No matter how many years we've known you, speaking from my own heart this morning, Father, you continue to challenge us. And oh God, I pray this morning that, Father, we would certainly rise to the challenge, forgetting what lies behind, just like Paul, laying it down for the sake of you, our King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Father, may tomorrow be different because of the decisions we make today. We ask it in and through your precious name. Amen.